Well, hello to our dear listeners. Wow, episode 22, right at 11:11, 4th of July, and a million something Americans are celebrating because of my presence in America. For me? No, it's not for me. It's for American Independence Day. I just think it's for me. Anyway, it's my birthday today too, and it's also restart, which means birth. In any case, thank you to all the dear friends on Facebook, YouTube, and other places, the social medias, who sent birthday wishes. This is the 22nd episode of Restart. Why is it that if you take the word believer away from religions, the whole foundation of religions crumbles into thin air, the divine books and the mission of the prophets? This will become clear. We explained last week that the prophets didn't publish any books. This is evident throughout history, meaning if we look closely, we'll see that I'm right. The prophets never published any books. If Jesus didn't have time to produce a book, that's logical. Meaning, when you say the Quran, we ask, who wrote this Quran? Who published it? Then we see the religion of our fathers and mothers getting involved again. Jesus meets John the Baptist at 27 and they kill him at 30. So the poor guy didn't have time to publish a book. Christians can logically make a case and say, sir, we published a book about 250 years later, whatever it was they published. But Muhammad ibn Abdullah, who formed a government there, or Mr. Moses, who formed a government there, why didn't they publish a book? Throughout history, we don't have any record of a book called the Quran being published during Muhammad's time. Now, the word Quran itself means reading. Quran in Syriac means lesson, or the word's root comes from either analogy or to read. It certainly doesn't mean writing, a written book, to be called a book. Writing. Quran means reading. So let's put the word itself aside. Here's a very simple question. Where did this book, the Quran, come from? You have no way to save yourself unless you say, my forefathers say so. It's written in your own Quran that you're talking about. I'm acting Socratic in this program. I told you this from day one. I take from you and give it back to you. I take from your own religion and answer you with your own religion. So you understand the result. It's like I put a sheep in the middle, I divide the whole sheep piece by piece, then I pick up the sheep and leave. It's that simple. In your own Quran, it's written, the religion of Abraham, it says, I am of the religion of my father, the religion of our fathers and mothers. None of them have read the Quran. Then a book came out during Uthman's time. My question is this. Let's even assume it was during Abu Bakr's time. A very, very small sect in Islam says, no, it came out during Abu Bakr's time. I'm not even concerned with the normal view that it really didn't come out then. Fine. Let's assume that's the case. I say, so you claim the Quran is Muhammad's message. If Muhammad ibn Abdullah's mission wasn't complete, then it's all up in the air. How did he not understand that he needed to publish a book? He died at 63, meaning he had time to write down this revelation, put a seal on it, and release it. He didn't. The word faith and its place. We say to the Christian, it's as if you say, yeah, they say, we have faith that Jesus will return. We say, okay, let's say I remove the word faith. This is a very important point, because religions have taken the word faith from themselves. They took the word faith from Sufism, attached it to themselves, and are now maneuvering with it. Go on. We go to the previous generation and say, well, I haven't seen anything either. My forefathers saw it. We go 2,700 years after Jesus' death and say, I haven't seen anything either. My forefathers saw it. How do you get a girl pregnant from a girl you haven't seen? How do you have children? How do you fall in love with a love you haven't seen? A face you haven't seen. Close your eyes right now, imagine a face and fall in love with it. You can't. Religions took the word faith and glued it to themselves. Muslims are the same. The religion of our fathers and mothers. If one day they ask us what that book means, what should we do? They said the best thing to do was to pay some guy to write that sometimes the word that also means this. It's like if I were to add to the decoder dictionary that sometimes Hosseini means God. Hosseini can also mean God. It's very simple to understand. They just move the words around. all religious people, all of them, constantly want to encourage their followers toward faith. The word faith means after you have seen something. The girl you have seen, you say, I know her. Then when you go and get married, that's submission. I have submitted. When you sit with a girl, sleep with her, wake up with her, go to the movies with her, you say, I have faith. This girl is a good girl. Yukinun means certainty. After faith, they tell you about certainty. You say, I accept this girl with my eyes closed now, meaning I've seen her, I've talked to her, I have faith, now I have certainty. Now I am certain. I am certain she is the best girl. These are all in sequence. Now what happens if we take away faith? It's obvious. A critique of the Christian and Islamic views, because Iranians are mostly Muslim, dear Christian listener. Look, I said one sentence. And that's why I want to go towards the verses of the Quran. Muslims, look, I said one sentence to you. I gave you 3-4 weeks to think. They ask Jesus, do you want to be king? Well, you've seen the movie. The verses are also in the gospel. He says, his sentence is famous. He says, look, whose picture is on this coin? They say, the picture of such and such king. He says, give the money that has the picture of so and so to him. Give the money that belongs to Jesus to me. If you think about this for one Friday the next morning on the radio, you'll say, sir, I just understood. You've been donating to the church until now. With what money are you donating? You, in general. If I want to help a church now, what do I help with? With Mr. Hosseini's money? With the Hajj Aga's money? Your problem is this money, the picture on it, why are you giving it to the church? What did you give? We gave money, Mr. Hosseini. What did you give? No, we gave money. So we can't. Just think about this, it'll shake you. Just thinking about this will shake you. You'll realize you have no faith in Christ. You don't even know Christ. And the way to know Christ is this restart, beautiful. If you want to know Moses, you have to come here. Don't think you only get to know Nietzsche here. Don't think you come here and get to know Shakespeare and Tolstoy and Anton Chekhov. That you'll get to know Khayyam, Saadi and Hafez. No, beautiful, you'll get to know Christ too. Because your religion is the religion of your father and mother. It's all either what you've read or what you've heard. You've seen nothing of Christ. You haven't asked questions either. So you went back. Just think about this return of Christ. What? Which idiot told you Christ is coming back that you now have to have faith in it too? The circumstances of Christianity, the cross. First, you have to accept that Jesus went on the cross. Mr. Hosseini, in history, they saw him go on the cross. Okay, I'll assume that's okay. All of history saw it. They even took pictures of him going on the cross. They hammered the nail into his hand. The return of Christ, in the name of the merciful, the compassionate, in the name of Jesus. They saw him 6 times, 20 times. Have you seen anything? No, I haven't. Well, your religion is the religion of your father and mother. You're basically a prisoner of your parents' religion. They don't understand. It's written at the very beginning of the Muslim's Quran. It explains who the believer is, who the pious is. It explains. It says at the very beginning of your Quran, Alif Lam Mim, which is a code. He himself knows what the code means. It means if you understand Alif Lam Mim, you press a key and the form of all the letters of the Quran changes. Only the people of Sufism understand this. Meaning when it says Alif Lam Mim, the Quran that must, it rotates the Alif Lam Mim. Because your book is a book stolen from Sufism, the gospel from Sufism, some of its sentences are correct, yes. They belong to Sufism. They stole them and put them in the gospel. And what's the reason? The reason is that it also has the stench of government. Look, in that same gospel, it's written that, O people, do not rise up against governments. If an injustice is done to you, turn the other cheek. If they rape your wife, be silent, because governments are our test. Shut up and just live. We see the same thing among the Sunnis. Sir, this government is, after all, the government of those in authority. We say Awwal Amr, meaning this person has become, for example, the king of Saudi Arabia. We know this, so we should show respect, meaning we should shut up. We have no right to revolt. No government, no religion in the world allows for an uprising. No religion in the history of the world. Tolstoy, are you asleep? Don, wake up already. I'm giving an example, but I have examples. That is the book in which there is no doubt. A Guidance for the Righteous. That is a book that has nothing to do with this one. It is that book at the beginning of your Quran. They understand? The understanding is theirs, not yours, not ours. We see whatever we see, stuck, they don't say. Like, some guy was saying Ayatollah Bahjat has the vision of the isthmus. Ayatollah Bahjat couldn't even see his own crotch. What vision of the isthmus? You fool. Whoever was taught the secrets of the truth, they sealed his lips and stitched his mouth shut. You fool. Then this Bahjat releases a video. For God's sake, let's not tell people I have the vision of the isthmus. Just shut the hell up. It makes a person sick. If you have the vision of the isthmus, can't you just not say anything so they don't pull your pants over your head, you jackass? Yes. You don't know. He had the vision of the isthmus. I want to punch you in the mouth. I don't know what to do with you. Personally, because I'm a family man, I can't punch anyone in the mouth because I keep taking it personally and hanging my head in shame. We've given you all this time and you fool are just sitting there talking to yourself. We want to talk about the perfect man today. To some extent, in short, it says, that is the book, without a doubt. Without a doubt means it's impossible to doubt. Only for the pious. What does that mean? People of Iran, this car of Hosseini's belongs only to my mummy, okay? Meaning if anyone else touches it, they're a dishonorable bastard. It belongs to my mummy. It says this book is for the pious. This book is only for the pious. Anyone else who reads it is a dishonorable bastard. It says so itself. Your own Quran is saying it. Are you pious? Now, just so you can say, yes, we are pious, we are pious, we read the next part. There's those who believe in the unseen and established prayers. It says the righteous or these pious ones are those who have faith in the unseen. What is the unseen? The definition of unseen is clear. Anything that is outside of your five senses is the unseen, meaning you can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't eat it, you can't do anything. The unseen is a world beyond the five senses. So do you have faith in this unseen? Do you even know what the unseen is to have faith in it? Yes, the unseen means we accept that the other world exists. Who told you this? Our forefathers told us. Well, then it became the religion of your forefathers. Did you see the unseen yourself? No, Mr. Hosseini, I didn't see it. Did you sleep with the unseen? Did anyone give you news from the unseen number? So how do you have faith? Let's just say you won. It's over. It's over right here. I don't need to read the rest of it for you. It's finished. Meaning you're floating on air. You've either seen the unseen or you haven't. You were either in the unseen or you weren't. You either received a message from the unseen or you didn't. If you didn't, you're floating on air. Faith in previous books and the resurrection. After that, the next verse, and who believe in what has been revealed to you. They believe in what was revealed to you and what was revealed before you. Why didn't it say, and those who believe? And it didn't say, and those who are Muslim? And it didn't say, and those who are people? It says that which was revealed to you and that which was revealed in the past. Well, all the mullahs, if I shut down the radio tomorrow, the scrolls, the psalms, yes, we have things from the psalms, the scrolls, and you can go get the gospel from the Christians and read it, which I have read, and I came to believe. The scrolls, we don't even know where they are. How many pages? I don't know. So how do you have faith in the past that was revealed to Muhammad? Do you have faith because you read it? No, Mr. Hosseini, we just accept that it came. You accept that it came. Do you really not understand the word faith? We just regurgitate things. We need to understand a little that these are the five specific principles. And they have certainty in the resurrection, meaning they are certain of the afterlife. Have you seen the afterlife? Have you been to the other side? Mr. Hosseini, has Rumi been there? Yes. Rumi says, I died and came back to life 200 times. When he says he died, it means he died in the very state he was sitting in. Rumi says it. Sa'di is the same. Hafez is the same. Shah Nimatullah Wali is the same. Khwaja Kirmani is the same. Sagir Isfahani is the same. All of them, all of them. Khayyam says the same thing. Baba Tahir Hamidani says the same thing. They all say the same thing. They say we die even as we are alive. Albert Einstein's relativity, our speed increases. I see it. He says we see the resurrection. Do you have faith? If you want to read your Quran, this Quran where you forcibly turned that into this, if you want to read it, you must have faith in the resurrection. Do you know anything about the resurrection? Has anyone given you news from the resurrection? Did your dad go to the resurrection and come back? Did your mom go to the resurrection and come back? Is the resurrection left, right, up, down? Where is the resurrection? What does the resurrection look like? Where did this resurrection come from? Easy, isn't it? The believer, the disbeliever, and the hypocrite. Those are upon guidance from their Lord, and it is those who are the successful. It says only these people find guidance, and only these people are prosperous. Those who disbelieved, right after it brings the word disbeliever, it says, no matter what you say to these fools, they will not believe. God has screwed them over. He has stuffed their ears and hearts, sealed their eyes, and made them fools. These donkeys think they have believed, and so that later they don't say, Mr. Hosseini isn't talking about us. Right after it says, I don't have music, meaning it concludes it. It says, don't worry at all. These Muslims say, we have believed, but they have no faith. We will explain. Christians are the same, all of them, because they haven't seen Jesus. If they saw Jesus or saw Moses, then we are their servants. They have believed. The rest haven't. It says they want to say, we are believers too, just to corrupt the meaning of believer. The whole point of these five or six verses is just this. Now, I haven't even talked about the Quran yet, which some people ask what it is. We say it belongs to Sufism. The subject is completely different. I'm afraid, I swear on Hosseini's life, if I start just 4 minutes of episode 50 right now, by God, you will turn it off. Let it gather little by little and then become a sea. Beautiful. You will turn it off. Believe me, you will turn it off. You'll turn it off, my friend. My dear Mr. Hosseini, listen, you'll turn it off. Christian listener, you'll turn it off. You know it's about the sperm. You know, restart depends on your sperm. Not everyone can handle it. That's why you shouldn't promote it. We should introduce it. You should send it to your relatives to listen. But don't argue with them about it. It relates to one's essence. You know, the one who is attracted, you know, it's not a song. You have to be attracted to a song. No matter how much you put gold, push. We didn't want to talk about the perfect man. I said the word because it's important. So the entire population of planet Earth, according to Hafez, Rumi, Saadi, here is a very important message. Radio Hosseini gives it to you. If you remove this word, faith, everything becomes clear. According to Sadi, Rumi, Hafez, William Shakespeare, Nietzsche, Tolstoy, Bayezid Bastami, Sheikh Karakani, Junaid of Baghdad, all the mystics and people of Sufism, the people of the world are divided into three groups. Number one, the believer. And their definition of a believer is someone who sees, who talks, meaning they see Jesus. They call this person a believer, meaning they have faith in the prophet and see him and talk with him. They call him a believer, meaning they are around that person, meaning someone who is from God, meaning the perfect man or the guide or the elder in Persian literature, is all there. Meaning he knows the guide, knows the imam of the age, imam zaman, as you people call him, knows the perfect man. He knows him, has sat with him, is asking questions. This small group is called the believer. Meaning those who were around Jesus were believers. When Jesus died, any idiot who came after and said, I have faith, is no longer a believer. When Muhammad died, those who came after him and said, I have faith in Muhammad, were talking bullshit. Why? Because according to these mystics, according to Sufism, only those who saw Muhammad and believed in him, meaning they had to be around him, are called believers. So the people of the world are divided into three groups. The movie, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Watch that movie one time. It's a very useful movie. Very good. They are either good or bad or ugly. So from the perspective of Sa'di and Hafez and Attar, Nizami and Owais al-Qarani, all these Sufi mystics, the people of the world at any given time are divided into three groups. They are either believers or disbelievers or hypocrites. Now, you don't know the definition. So a believer is someone who knows that perfect man. A disbeliever refers to all religions, to all godless people, meaning someone who doesn't know the perfect man becomes a disbeliever. As your own hadith says, Nasibi. A Nasibi is someone who claims to have a relationship with God. He fornicates, he prays. It says whether he prays or fornicates, it makes no difference. A scoundrel is a scoundrel. They do good things. This is the definition. And that group that accepted Jesus became believers. Judas became a hypocrite. Meaning Judas, who knew Jesus, betrayed him and became a hypocrite. The rest of the people were disbelievers. Don't look for other definitions. Because the belief of Sufism is that you absolutely must know the perfect man, and we will. The parable of the ant and the gardener. For an ant, imagine a real ant, an ant in a very large garden, say 6 hectares. If you tell an ant that Mash Hassan made this garden, it says, for God's sake, don't play with my faith. God made this. You say, I swear to God, I saw Mash Hassan. The ant that came and planted the apple tree, I was there from the beginning when this garden was made, from the time of the Big Bang, from the time they were molding Adam's clay. It says, don't lie. This garden belongs to God, and it is a merciful God that lets us live. Well, the ant will never understand that the garden belongs to Mash Hassan. It will never understand that people built Tehran. Beings called humans built Tehran. It can't understand, because the most its world can advance is to a small garden plot. Are you laughing? That's right. That's you. Don't laugh. This is you, Mr. Hosseini says. At least don't say humans created the planets. What if a human did create them? You think that we came from the Big Bang, and several billion stars and galaxies are very important. What if one person created all this? What if what Jesus said is true? If he says everything in the universe was created for my sake, the Father gave it to me, what will you do then? What if what Bayazid Bastami said is true? That everything you see I created, what will you do with him? What if what Shah Nimatullah Wali said is true? Everything you see in the universe is by my command, what will you do with him? Don't you think you are that same ant? Don't think so highly of yourself. Do you know what the difference between you and that ant is? You don't know 90% of the universe. You know nothing of the unseen world either. You think God just created something after the Big Bang, made 4 idiot angels up there, created some houris over here, some handsome youths over there, and once planet Earth was done, the universe was done. A ghazal from Hafez and its explanation. Hafez reaches mysticism towards the end of his life. He tries very hard. He cries a lot. He looks at the subject a lot. He really struggles in his mental state. He tries very hard to understand this subject. He says, they who with a glance turn dust into alchemy, gold, might it be that they would cast a sidelong glance at us? The phrase, might it be, is a question. It's the peak of ass-kissing, the peak of humility. He's asking, is it possible? It's a hope, a wish. He could have said, they who with a glance turn dust into alchemy will surely cast a sidelong glance at us. He could have used surely. He says, might it be? They who turn dust. Dust means your body. Look, your body is from dust. There are 7 billion people now. All these fools will die. They all die on this same earth. 500 billion people have come and gone. They all died on this same earth. None of them were buried on the moon. None were buried on Mars. Only on Earth. This same earth has produced, died, produced, died, produced. This is what's called dust. Your body is also dust, cell by cell, meaning Shams, by the order of the perfect man, turns a piece of dust named Rumi with a glance into alchemy. Now, why does Hafez say this? Because he's smart. Hafez is after Rumi. He knows Rumi's story. He knows Shams's story. He says, they who with a glance turn dust into alchemy Might it be that they would cast a sidelong glance at us? My pain is better hidden from claimant physicians. May it be that from the treasury of the unseen, they provide a cure. He says it's better for my pain to remain in my heart than to get stuck with rabbis and mullahs and priests, those who claim to have a connection with God, those who claim to understand something. He says my pain is better hidden than from the physicians, these false claimant doctors throughout history. Until then, liars, all of them, all liars, everyone. He says my pain is better hidden from claimant physicians. May it be that from the treasury of the unseen they provide a cure. He says, this pain of mine, let it stay within me, so that from the unseen, may it be, it's a wish again, I'll let it stay so they might come and cure it from the treasury of the unseen. I don't want to get caught up with these people. Since the beloved does not lift the veil from her face, why does everyone create a story from their imagination? These are all singulars. Every person is singular. Every person means one person. It refers to one person or a human. He says, why does every person create a story from their imagination? It's incomplete, plural. Pay attention, it's incomplete, full of meaning. He says, if you see that this beautiful one, the perfect man, does not lift the veil from his face, you say he's behind a cloud, can't be seen, doesn't come, plays hard to get, he says, since the beloved does not lift the veil from her face, why does every person create a story from their imagination? Why do you all make up stories? A book from yourself, attach the book, attach it from yourself, believe in it, so on and so forth. Since a good end comes not from cleverness or piety, it is best that they leave their fate to grace. Do you really think that way? Don't you think you're that ant in Mash Hassan's garden? That if I tell you Mash Hassan built this, you'll beat the crap out of him? We don't know. The perfect man in the view of the mystics? Hafez, Shams, and Rumi? Hafez, because you... I want to explain the perfect man today. Let's take a moment, because the topic of the perfect man requires that believer, disbeliever, and hypocrite are explained so you know what they are. We go to the 7th century Islamic calendar times. We see four people have emerged. These four people, each one of their spits is equal to the entire universe. Attar of Nishapur, Shams Tabrizi, Maulana Jalaluddin Muhammad Rumi Balkhi, and Saadi, the perfect man. They all had roughly one perfect man. Now one. Some had him for 3 years, 4 years, 10 years. But they shared one perfect man. Let's go and see who these people are. We see Mr. Shams Tabrizi, an old man who would die if you pinched his nose. Shams Tabrizi, the intelligence agency of the time when Rumi got involved with him, wanted to put Shams on a donkey and take him away. They were saying, sir, if this donkey jolts too much, he'll die. He was that old. You could blow on him and he'd die. An illiterate, unlettered man in the middle of the desert. It's written in history that we don't know what Shams's level of literacy was. It's truly hidden. The perfect man from a dry piece of wood. If he blows on a dry piece of wood, as we say, alchemy, meaning it turns iron into gold. Kimia means turning iron into gold. It turns the fool Hosseini into the greatest scholar in history. He pours mysticism into a dry piece of wood and shakes it up. In order to come and shake up Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi, he sends a man named Shams. Look closely, two different personalities. One is a god of literacy, intellect, culture, all came from one perfect man, meaning Shams and Rumi know one perfect man. They don't mention his name, they don't dare, but they know him. They have sat on their knees before his school. The perfect man, in order to show off, to enjoy himself so that you understand, so that when you understand this, you understand that, you understand the particles of him one by one, he produces a man like Saadi, polite, with character, in a certain way. He produces another like Rumi. He produces another like Attar, about whom Rumi still says, Attar traveled the 7 cities of love, we, meaning you and I, are still at the bend of a single alley. To sort Rumi out, he sends a 60, 70, 80-year-old man, weak, ordinary, illiterate, to shake Rumi up, meaning he told off all the mullahs. Rumi at that time was the great man of the history of mullahs. He really knew all the books, everything. Whatever book you can name, whatever the mullahs throughout history have read, Rumi knew it all. He shakes him up in one night. This is from the 7th century. Who was this perfect man who shook all of them up? Who is this person? Why are they all in love with him? What kind of beloved is this, Hafez? He says you can't do anything with piety and cleverness and books and such. There must be grace. Meaning he is talking exactly about the perfect man. Grace must be shown to me. Meaning it must be a favor. He's stating the theory. Do not be without gnosis, for in the marketplace of love, the people of vision only deal with an acquaintance. He says, here he is alluding, he says, the market of love is full within me. I don't know why. Didn't you say you only deal with an acquaintance? Why don't you do this with me? For now, much mischief goes on behind the curtain, until the time the curtain is lifted, what things they will do. This much mischief goes on behind the curtain means that in the perspectives that exist, until the time the curtain is lifted, what things they will do. If this curtain falls, the secrets will finally be revealed. If a stone laments from this tale, do not be surprised. He says from this pain of the perfect man, this restart thing, if a stone cries, it's really not strange. The masters of the heart tell the story of the heart well. The masters of the heart, Shabdalan, meaning the owners of hearts. The owners of hearts means the same mystics and people of Sufism. Drink wine for 100 sins hidden from others, are better than an act of worship done with hypocrisy and show. He says this act of worship at your service that is done with hypocrisy, meaning prayers and fasting and religious taxes and alms and church and synagogue and all that. He says it's better to drink wine than to do these things. The shirt from which the scent of my Joseph comes, I fear his jealous brothers will make it into a robe. Make it into a robe means they'll make clerical robes with it, give it a false sanctity. He says this shirt of Joseph, the scent of love comes from it, patience and love and such. They've taken this shirt and made it into a robe. The people of Sufism, they've stolen its themes and are telling them, two people without having the permission to say these things or without being able to have any effect at all. Pass by the alley of the tavern so the assembled attendees can spend their time praying for you. Secretly from the envious call me to yourself, for the beneficent do their hidden good for the sake of God's pleasure. Here he says that I hope one day it will come to be that for the sake of God's pleasure, the beneficent, meaning the perfect man, will take our hand, will help us. Hafez, enduring union is not possible. Kings pay little heed to the state of a beggar. This is the height of humility. He's saying, Hafez, don't think I'll give you restart that easily, that you can understand the subject or understand the perfect man that easily, and the kings, these great ones, these mystics, this great man, this perfect man, pay little heed to the state of a beggar. This is the peak of his humility, but this poem is attributed to Hafez as having been written in praise of Shahnimatul Awali. For this week, we will read two couplets from Shahnimatul Awali, meaning it's as if Hafez is alluding to Shahnimatul Awali. It's not even as if it's written in history that he is directly speaking to Shahnimatul Awali. We'll read the first two couplets and then we'll know for next week. Couplets from Shah Nimatullah. Wali Shah Nimatullah. Wali says, we, with a glance, turn the dust of the road into gold. We save any old fool. We pick up a piece of wood, shake it, and turn it into a god. We send an old man who would fall over and die if you blew on him to shake up Rumi. We do it. We who with a glance turn dust into alchemy. 100 pains we cure with a corner of an eye. Listen to the plural. Listen to the plural, beautiful. 100 pains with a corner of an eye. Meaning we don't even need to look at you. You see, some people think that, for instance, the perfect man, and there are a few Sufis around the perfect man, you think that for a Sufi to curse you, he does it as a joke, for example. Firstly, these people don't curse. That's the tragedy. The nature of this perfect man is kind. His nature is kind, he can't help it. Yes. Now, you think that for a Sufi to, around Sufism, you think he goes to prayer and curses you? No. If he just thinks of you while he's in the bathroom, you're toast, buddy. You just need him to think of you in the bathroom, and you're completely toast, you fool. Haven't you read the surah of Joseph in the Quran? Two people had dreams. The first one had a dream, said, I saw this dream. Joseph said, you will rise high, you will succeed, you will be by the king's side. The second one said, I dreamed this way. He said, you're screwed, they'll eat your head in the morning. The guy got scared and said, Mr. Joseph, I'm sorry, I lied, I didn't have a dream. He said, even if you lied because it came out of my mouth, in the morning they will screw you over, they will teach you a lesson. My words have so much power that it's be and it is. If you even lie to this perfect man and it crosses his mind, you're finished. From this perfect man, not Shams. Shams shook Rumi. You just don't get the subject. The perfect man wasn't at the level where Rumi was a man, excuse me, that he would go himself or even joke. He sent Shams to shake him, meaning he sent the Sufi who was around him. It's enough for a Sufi who is around the perfect man to just think about you, and the whole planet is a fool. It's energy, it's all energy, it's all force. Do you think it's a big deal? Do you even know? You don't get it. You don't get it. Yes, you don't get it. You'll understand well. Let the program air for a year. You'll understand. Shah Nimatullah Wali says, we with a glance turn the dust of the road into alchemy. Buddy, we do it. He doesn't say God willing. He doesn't say God, listen. He doesn't say Muhammad. He doesn't say Jesus. And he says, we with a glance turn the dust of the road into alchemy. 100 pains we cure with a corner of an eye. We are in the prison of form and yet so happy and joyous. Behold what we shall do in the inner chamber of meaning. He says, if you see us turning dust into gold, shaking things up, making things happen, this is while we're still in the prison of form. We are still on this planet Earth, in this cage. In the realm of meaning, the other world, we'll rip everyone apart. You still don't see what's behind the curtain of my thought. He says, we are in the prison of form and yet so happy and joyous. This is how we shake things up, my dear. Behold, Mayur, you want to know me? Behold what we shall do in the inner chamber of meaning. Are you dead? Your pants are over your head. Are you dead? You're stuck. 100 years, 9 months in your mother's belly, 90 years on planet Earth, 9,000 in your grave, and then you come out. He says, you see us shaking things up this much, turning a little mullah like Rumi into a great man of history overnight with an old man, and we don't even go ourselves? He says, we are still in the prison of form, you fool. Our hands are still tied behind our backs on this earth. Our peak is love. It is passion. Behold what we shall do in the inner chamber of meaning. Then you will understand what we do. We are a group of shameless reprobates and ecstatic drunks. When would we ever let a sober person into our gathering? Someone whose heart beats for restart, someone who has truly been shaken, we won't let them go. When would we ever let a sober person into our gathering? If your heart is moved, we, your very perfect man, will save you. Friday, until Tuesday, until next week, dear listeners. And because if by the hand, words that come out of my mouth, I apologize to you for them. Until next week, farewell.